our investment in, we have things coming out of foreclosure, the fact that we have those new townhouses at the end of town, the Midtown Limited, those additional modular apartments are going to be great, and then the new one as well, that's going to be in redevelopment area 6. So, thank you again for all of your hard work and your support, and for all the great things you do, and for getting the borough back into a financially responsible position, and all of the reports, and can't say enough great things about how you guys have really turned that around and remanaged the finances. And it's very important, because it's not just the commercial value of the property itself. I always have to take into taxes are a huge consideration. So many of you have heard and seen this before. So basically, November is when our business plan and budget is due to you as council, and then in February we give you our audited version. We are very, very careful in my office. We run financial reports at a minimum of a monthly basis, and usually quite more often. So there's never really any big surprises when we do our audit. So this is really the major time for us to give you guys a heads up on what we're working on and what we plan to do. So going into the business plan, basically, as I said, we do this, we handle it and manage it like a professional organization. It doesn't matter if you're for profit or not. I count every single dollar. I feel like each one of it can be put to a great use to help all of us, and we are very careful to make sure that all of that is in good condition and is utilized to maximize all of the benefit for all of us. So if you look at our business plan, it shows you what is our framework, what is our foundation, the basic principles and the areas that we service the community, and our standards of excellence. As in any business plan, there's a mission and an executive summary. It talks about our comprehensive strategy in the areas that we work in. Then if you look at it, you go a little farther in, I explain to you in all of those major service areas what we have done in 2013. And I would say some of the biggest, if I just had to recap for the year, the biggest thing is these physical and capital improvements and filling in of many of the vacancies as well. And then if you go a little bit farther in, it talks about 2014 and what we are going to focus on and where are we going to go in those same service areas again. So continuing on, there's an organizational chart. It shows you where, how, what the framework, who reports to who, how all of that works. See the composition of our board of directors. We are having our election meeting tomorrow evening, so you will get a finalized copy of that. You can see our event calendar. As I had spoken to you earlier, we are going to try to revive the farmers market by moving it to the more busy day of Saturday. We'll see how that goes, and hopefully we can give it another jump start and a kick start. You want different results, you have to do something different. Can't do the same thing, expect to get different results. Doesn't work that way. So that has definitely been struggling, so we're going to try to work on that. Most of the other events are a lot of continuation of our successes. I would expect that there'll probably be some new tricks up our sleeve for the festival. There always is. We always try to do that. But for the most part, this is a pretty stable event calendar. We've worked on it for many years and given it a lot of thought. So the budget summary just takes major areas and summarizes the sheets that are behind it for you. So just the budget summary is just a major summary showing the different programs that we work on and the physical improvements, as well as what it costs to administer and run all of those events. If you go beyond that into your detailed budget worksheet, it's kind of set up as you would with a regular business, like a profit loss, except it's not really income and expenses. It's not, you know what I mean? But that's expenditure, whatever you want to call it. So you can see, you know, where we are in relation to the 2013 budget for year to date. Give you a projection of where I think we will come in for the full year. Don't expect there to be many surprises there, as well as the 2014 budget. So there really, again, no surprises. If there was a surprise, I would have come in here 3 months ago. It wouldn't sit like. I wouldn't come in now and hand you a surprise. I'd ask. I'd tell. I'd share. Try to get a committee to sign up for it, so cover myself. So really the big change was additional expenditures on the park property. As many of you know, a lot of government and grant funding has really dried up. And so we have applied to the federal government, to the state government twice, and to private foundations as well, and we were not successful in getting any grant funding. So we, as a board, decided to spend a lot of our internal surplus funds that we had. When the bid started, it started collecting the assessment in 2003, but really wasn't fully operational until 2004. And the surplus funds are what is allowing us to go ahead and do those improvements in the park right now. So that's the big line item. So as you said, you can see your big variance to budget. You can see that there was a variance on the park, and we are planning on spending some more there as well as into next year. So with what we're planning on spending on the park between the balance of this year and next year, our surplus is gone. We are done. So it's really crucial to us that we do, and I know you all have planned on it, so it's not like any surprise, so I appreciate that. It really is crucial for us, our operations, to continue to have the parking lot loan pay off, because that is, you know, we're really dry. That's it. We're down to maybe 2 months' expenses in our coffers, which, you know, you don't always, sometimes you have to outlay money out front, et cetera. So we want to make sure that we have working capital. And we will continue to seek out additional grant funding and to work hard on donations and sponsors. If anybody ever comes up with any ideas like that, 1 year, that was great. You got me that JCP&L guy. And in fact, he's doing Hometown Holiday again this year for $500. So if you guys, and I had been calling and calling and calling, so sometimes you get a different person, it's an in. So never think that there's, please help me find a stone that I haven't turned over. It doesn't hurt to ask or to check. And any of you who want to be involved on any of the events, certainly let us know. Janine has been working with us on the Hometown Holiday, as well as Councilman Thompson, and we love it. We love when you guys are working together with us. It helps us to get more done. Rob has done a lot of work on that nuisance ordinance, and with Janine and the whole committee as well, and I think that is going to be with Rudy's diligence, that is really going to help us. Appearance is very important, you know, it really is, and keeping safety and well-being of the community as well. So, I don't know, does anybody have any questions for me, or comments or suggestions?
Deborah.
Yeah, just on your last page, Sandy.
Yes.
I only see 500 budgeted for 2013 net other income, yet you're proposing that you're going to be making 3,700. So what, you know, is the difference? You know, that it's not the last item on the bottom. It says net other income. It's page 505, left page.
Appendix F.
Right. So you're
that's
obviously
a net loss. That's what I'm telling you. We're withdrawing more from our surplus.
Okay, the second to I understand that, but the second to the last, I mean, your other income I'm asking about. What other event? Are you planning some other event that's not?
Okay, so basically new? What the other income and expense was supposed to do was just to account for things that really aren't budgetary items. We have, we work hard to be able to bring programs that might not otherwise happen.
Mm-hmm.
Comcast Spotlight will not sell directly to people directly at the rate of a dollar commercial. So by us going out, I think we bought 7,800 spots and then resold them at we didn't make any money off it. We,
right.
You know, just administered it. So basically through billing through us, we had many businesses, and actually I think Brett, the pool as well, did TV commercials with us as well. So we were able to buy a huge bulk of the Comcast TV commercials. So that's what it is by as far as the Comcast, and that ends up just being a wash. What happened with the Clean Communities is
I'm just asking about if you have any new events or something, because the difference on the second website, net other income, you have this year's budget $500, year-to-date $437, and yet your projection of next year is going to be $3,700. I just thought maybe there's no event or something that you're planning to get more money.
No, actually, this was actually more support from you guys. Thank you, which we appreciate. That was Clean Communities funds that we used directly. And again, we appreciate feedback. Okay. We had a couple of council people come in, and I'm sure everyone's noticed that there's a whole different level of attention to detail as far as weeds between the sidewalks, making sure cigarette butts are taken up. And even the planters were given a lot more attention this year. So basically, we appreciate the generosity of the Clean Communities funds, and we took those and matched plus more with that, and so that was another income for us.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I wasn't catching what you meant about
right.
$3,700.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So mostly our income, we've withdrawn from surplus, we have the assessment, we get fees from anybody who has a table or a tent at our festival, as well as sponsorships. So that's where the bulk of our funding comes from. We have, in the past, had great amounts of funds come through through grants, but it just was not, we got turned down on two more grants this year again. So, working hard at that. And, you know, doing the best we can. And I also always, always trying to elevate ourselves and learn more and see more. That's why, even though I've been doing this for how many years, I'm still taking the certification program. Why? Is there a chance? Might I meet? We went up to Newark and visited the largest bid on the East Coast and tried to learn things from him and some of his strategies, you know, and going through and looking at, you know, sometimes I'm examining places in Seattle, Washington versus Washington Borough. I'll attend a lot of things. I go to the Coalition for Healthy and Safe Communities to try to help so that I can help all of us. We want our community to be safe and clean. We don't want, you know, people trying to sell drugs or having violence, all types of stuff like that. I attend Warren County Economic Development Advisory Committee. So, you know, I'm not always in the office, but I am always thinking about our town and different ways that we can all come together and always up it a notch. And I just have to say, in all the years that I've been here, this has been the most support we've ever gotten, and it has enabled us to get stuff done. And I think everybody's seeing a lot of the results. And so I just wanted to thank you all again.
Sadie, when's the parking lot loan due?
I think it was August was the payoff, correct? Yeah, August.
July or August. 2014.
Right.
This upcoming year.
Yes.
Yep. So if you look in my budget, you see we have plan 19. We've been spending like 28,000 and change each year. The reason this year it dropped to 19 is because it's not a full year of payment. It's counting on getting it paid off in August. So.
All right. So one other question. You took, 51,000 out of surplus? 59,000 out of surplus?
Yep.
Okay. So that's to offset the tax rate, the amount of money you need raised by the taxes, correct?
No, we have kept the taxes steady at the $200,000.
That's what I mean. You're taking $59,000 out of surplus to keep it at a tax rate of $200,000.
Yes.
Okay.
We have never changed from the $200,000 except for 1 year we brought it down to $165,000.
Okay, so you're taking $59,000 out. You're only planning on spending $19,000 towards parking lot debt service, right?
Yeah, $19,000 and change, $20,000,
okay.
Yep.
Okay. So that leaves another $35,000?
Exactly what we budgeted to spend on the park.
Okay. All right. And what does that leave you in your surplus?
I figured out at the end of this, because I was kind of getting concerned, all this money is like blowing out of here. I'm like, all righty. So, we'll be down to like $38,000-$40,000 in our surplus at the end of the day. And in fact, so until the parking lot loan is paid off, some of our funds are like a collateral account. We have a money market as a requirement of the loan condition, so it has to have $50,000 in there. So the last 12 of the 50, I can't spend until August when we have the loan payoff, because that is encumbered by the bank.
Okay, so my next question here is, you're down to $40,000 in surplus. You took $54,000 out this year. If you keep the tax rate at $200,000 for next year, taking $19,000 out of that is $30,000. You're still going to be, you're only going to have about $10,000 in surplus next year.
I think the missing equation here is saying, like if you go back into the audited financial report, it doesn't just show you income and expenses, it shows you your assets. So I think that's the missing part. So if you looked at what do I have in cash right now, right now, today, tomorrow, we have about $100,000. And with the additional that we're going to spend, as well as the next 2 months of income, that's where I got my numbers from.
Okay, so my question is, what kind of planning is the bid doing right now so they don't get into a hole of spending $250,000 a year, and they're keeping the tax rate, at $200,000, and they're taking from surplus? How are you going to build that surplus up?
Okay. So,
does the bid have a plan for that?
No, we really have not planned on keeping a big surplus in the coffers. We actually, right now, I think the interest rates are as low as 1 and 2. The maximum we were even getting was 3%. And we, as a group, all looked at the town and all of the things that we wanted and needed to have done, and did go ahead and make the decision that we were going to spend the surplus.
You're not a money-making business. You're not in it for a profit. You're in it.
Right, but to his point, we want to be solvent. We need to be able to make our bill. I was
money,
more comfortable with like $50,000. $38,000 is kind of getting a little bit low for me. I'd like to see us having like 3 months of surplus. So I'm going to be continually, as I said, looking, haven't given up on getting the grant funding at all. Continue looking at that. There's also fundraisers that we can try to do. We're working right now with Anchor, I guess the division of Tilcon, with the block, so perhaps we can sell some of those. So, and then also not just looking at grant funding for the park. So maybe I couldn't get grant funding for the park. Are there other ways to get grant funding? I put in an increased application to Warren County Culture and Heritage Commission this year. Last year they gave us $1,800. I applied for $5,000 this year. So other than fundraisers, I don't think it's realistic to think that we're going to charge more fees for our events. I am continuing to look at sponsors.
Here's the point I'm trying to make, Sammy. You took $54,000 out of surplus this year, or for next year, for 2014. Out of that $54,000, you're going to use $35,000 for the park, and you're also going to use $19,000 for the parking lot loan.
Right.
Okay. Now, If you take that $54,000 out of the equation, it brings your budget down to $239,000, right? So next year you're not going to have that $54,000 expense. So if you look at it, you project out, your budget's actually going to be $239,000 because you're not going to have that expense the following year. You only have $38,000 in surplus right now. You're $1,000 in the hole.
I'm sorry, Dave. We have income from our special events.
But that's included in your budget right now. The income that you have income
included
right now.
Oh, I see, because it's a wash, the income and expense.
Right, the income and the expense is a wash. Right now, if you take that $54,000 out of your budget, the $35,000 for the park, and the $19,000 on the debt service, take that out.
Mm-hmm.
That brings your budget down to $239,000, right? You're telling me that you want to keep the tax rate at $200,000. You have between $38,000 and $40,000 in surplus. To spend the $239,000 to stay at what you're doing right now, you're going to be broke next year.
They just won't have a surplus.
At all. And then what do you do the following year? here's what I'm trying to say, is somewhere along the line, if you're going to try and keep that tax rate down to $200,000,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to cut expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Either cut expenses or the business people's taxes are going up.
Understood.
And I don't think that they're going to be very happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if you,
So again, realizing that this budget takes you through 2014, so you're telling me to plan ahead on a five-year basis, like what's happening in 2015 and going forward?
Well, I'm just saying this. The 54,000, you're not going to have that expense in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But, so if you take that out of the 2014 budget, that 54,000, that leaves you with a budget of $239,000, $240,000, right? And you're keeping the tax rate at $200,000. That's what we're raising in taxes for the business improvement district.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're operating on. You're spending $40,000 more than you're taking in. It's not going to take long if you're spending $40,000 more than you're taking in that either taxes go up or you're broke.
Okay. So the part that's hard to see in this arena, we have never, ever had our operations run the whole amount. Like when I sit here and run that financial report and
right.
I'm trying to map out the budget, the whole amount of our net loss has always been the goal since we took on the parking lot loan was for those two line items to match. That the only withdrawal from surplus, so when our board made that decision that we were going to withdraw from the surplus, it wasn't for day-to-day operations. There was no agreement to do that whatsoever. It was for physical improvements, meaning the park
I understand
and
that
the parking lot.
All right. That for the park and the parking lot. I understand that. Here's the part that I don't think you understand. You're taking $54,000 out of surplus. Right?
I guess one question is there more left over in surplus?
Than $40,000.
No, right now, right this year's budget, you're withdrawing from surplus to give you a revenue of $54,000 for all the
right.
park stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is there more in surplus? That
yeah,
we're not
$40,000.
Yeah. You're not seeing the surplus. You're seeing what we've spent and what we've taken in. That's like a whole separate thing from the audit or from the finance. Like there's two different financial
right.
reports. You have a trial balance, a statement of earnings, a statement of accounts. So when we go, like right now, I have my current financial and my
well,
board
Well, he's saying
packet.
Using those numbers, right now your total income because of that park is $289,000. Next year, the income will be $234,000 because you won't have that $54,000
right.
revenue.
Right, and you're only taxing for $200,000, so you have $40,000 in surplus. If you continue to spend at this rate at 2014, you'll be coming
right.
into 2015, you will have to raise the
because
business
there's
tax.
Another 30 grand that you're talking
you
about.
You will have to raise the business tax. You either need to cut expenses
mm-hmm.
or you need to prepare either, you know what I mean? And
yes.
you need to not take as much out of surplus next year.
Or increase revenues.
Or increase your revenue or increase taxes. I don't want what happened to the town to happen to the bid.
No, I understand completely. Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
You take the money
yeah,
out?
You need to see a cash flow.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the cash flow, then you're busted.
Did I lose everybody on that?
No, but where are you getting that $40,000 in surplus?
She just said there's between $38,000 and $40,000 in surplus.
Because that's all you have left. Okay.
Yeah, that's
like
left.
if you just
left
kind
left.
Of follow along with me really quickly, we had the current board. Right now we have 86 plus 50, $136,000 in the bank. Okay.
You have how much?
$136,000 in the bank. 136. 50 plus 86. 136.
All right. That is before.
Okay. And so that.
And you're going to take out 54.
From your surplus.
That leaves, 82, not 40.
Okay.
Well, I think she gets your point. I don't figure that out, what all that numbers are.
Yes, all right, close. So, but we are not supposed to be withdrawing any more than the parking lot loan payment and from the parks. But I understand your point. I need to do a cash flow, and we need to either raise our income or cut our expenses.
Absolutely.
Well, in that regard, if you go to Appendix E, which is your summary for the 2014 budget, the only thing just that jumps out that could possibly, you know, be adjusted maybe is your event expenses, because it is such a big number out of your budget. So if there's a way, maybe with the help of a grant or anything else, you can cut these event expenses. That's just a suggestion I would have.
Yeah, actually, I'm in agreement. That was what I was talking about when I was talking about the Warren County Cultural and Heritage Commission, that $5,000, that was for events.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
I might do it.
All right, well, I am going to then go, so I think that the story here, final bottom line, we want to see a cash flow. We want to see the other part of this, not just the income and expense. We want to see a statement of our financial position and a cash flow. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no problem. And obviously realizing of we're not spending that whole $50,000 on the park right now.
Yeah.
So it's not going to encumber anything that you need to do or
need to pay. And a chunk of it goes with the loan.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. From 2013, it was about $28,000, I think, for the parking lot loan.
Yeah.
And then for 2014, it's cut back to $20,000. So.
Sandy, can I receive a final payoff amount for the budget for next year?
Yes.
The exact number on the parking lot?
Absolutely.
At what time? I mean, our budget year starts in January. If we can save interest payments before January and August, as long as it's 2014, August or before, right?
We may not be able to pay off the entire thing in January. Remember, we're working on
a
temporary budget, maybe March, April.
What I'm talking about.
I have a whole, what do they call it, a fin flow? I have a whole sheet of paper that shows me every single month how much the amount is. So I will give you the full kid and spool, because if it's a month or two earlier,
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, if you can save on interest, that would probably be a great idea.
That'd be phenomenal.
Yes, thank you.
It'd be great for all of us. Okay. Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you for everything
thank
that you do, Sandy.
Thank
you,
all of you.
I'm going to have to get a good voice to understand these numbers. Your 2013 budget was $296,000. Correct?
Yes.
Your projection for 2013 is $311,000, so you're $14,000 over.
Yes. So that was what I pointed out in the beginning, that my board voted to spend an additional $15,000 this year, 2013, on the park, and $35,000 for next year, for a total of $50,000 more of expenditures on the park.
So they're going to take the $15,000 out of surplus this year, another $15,000 to make up that shortfall.
Yes, except I don't think it ends up being a whole $15,000 because I saved in other areas of the budget. I just did. So with the budget, I had to prepare this a while back. So the financials that I ran year to date were like through mid-October. I just did another one based on my bank, reconciled bank accounts and expenses for this month. But since that didn't end till November 1st, there was no way I could prepare and get it to you ahead of time last Thursday. So I've said that, so it ends up being like an additional $10,000 on this year's budget.
So you can always come back and give us an update.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I am going to come back and give you a cash flow. Plus, you're going to see actuals for the year versus projections, and we'll have a whole cash flow. And then you're going to get a whole audited financial report. I mean, I was an A student in accounting, but I wasn't an accounting major or anything. Like, we have a professional auditor who does this, William Colantano in town.
Well, and you have a treasurer that does a lot of the reports, too.
Actually, this is his last meeting.
Mm.
Tomorrow night, Ed Fleegoff is retiring from the bid.
Mm.
So, thank you all very much.
I don't want to see you guys crash.
Yes. I appreciate it. I'll be very appreciative, too, when I can still cash my paycheck, right?
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
If anybody thinks of anything else, at any time, it doesn't need to be like a big meeting or a council meeting, my email, my phone is always open to all of you and to the community, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sandy, here, flash drive.
Thank you.
I'm going to push the audience portion off a little bit. I know Mr. Cioni wants to speak, and he just had to run out and pick up his son. He'll be back shortly. We have no ordinances, so that takes us to reports.
You're back.
Okay, well, let's do the reports, and I'm off.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
Yes, sir.
Which one?
The Highway Department, DPW.
Shoot.
If you take a look at this and actually read it, week one, week two, week three, and week four, there's a lot of duplication on the roads that are being swept with a street sweeper. That's done the first week, the second week, it's the third week. I would just ask that maybe a little rotation, yeah, on the streets. Different section of town.
Okay. Anything else?
No, but it was in the minutes, too. There's still no revenue report. It's been a long time, but, you know, with the breakout of the different line items of what revenues we've gotten year to date, please.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? At this point, I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimonies from guests. Okay, you're up.
Thank you. Victor Cioni, 29 Alvin Sloan, here on behalf of Washington Borough Recreation. I actually have some very good news. Dear Mayor and Council, I stand before you to bring news of something not accomplished in documented history. The 2013 pool season was not only successful, but profitable.
Yay!
It was a short time ago in 2010 when the pool was almost closed because it routinely lost approximately $50,000 per season, a burden that was picked up by the borough taxpayers. This was the main reason the pool became a possible target for closure during the budget crisis. I voted with others on council to save the pool from closure and stated at the time that the pool could be made successful with the correct leadership as well as application of fundamental business processes, marketing, and staffing models. When my term ended on council, I was appointed to the Recreation Commission with the goal of turning it all around. Many believed it couldn't be done and was never intended to make a profit, but while I believed in the goal, I also realized I needed help to make it happen. We recruited volunteers for my annual volunteer days at the park, and by doing so each year and soliciting donations, we were able to repaint the pool buildings inside and out, the grandstand and the grandstand bathrooms, among many other things. We recruited new commissioners who were not afraid to get their hands dirty and to take actual ownership of their respective sports programs as well as develop new ones. We worked closely with the borough manager as well as borough council to share information and ideas to work together on a common goal. Most of the council supported our vision, and I thank them for that. Without their donations to help fund our restoration projects, we might not have been so successful. As I stated earlier, to accomplish this huge task, we needed good people who were truly dedicated to making all of borough recreation better. And last year, I believe we found such a person when we hired our current rec director, Melissa Holmes. No one has ever worked harder to help us succeed than she has. We have never received so many compliments from both new pool members and veteran pool members about the state of the parks and pool. We are also very fortunate to have a tremendous park steward in Dave Dixon, who understands every aspect of the intricacies of the pool and park equipment, but is also sought after for advice and guidance. Again, we did this as a team, and I present this success story not only to the manager, mayor, and council, but really to the borough taxpayer. The answer at the end of the message is very clear. Yes, this can be done. So special thank you to Adam Zimmer, Mike Knockbauer, Adam Robinson, Joe Pinto, Tim Shanahan, Beth Yaporsky, Dave Dixon, all of the pool staff this year, and our mayor, Scott McDonald, and those on council that supported us. That's pretty much all I wanted to share.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice. I'm glad we waited.
You didn't include yourself in there. You did
a lot of work. Thank you so much. Actually, the profit, so you guys have a dollar amount, it wasn't huge, but it was $5,079.65. The reason...
Anything black is a good thing in
this
case.
Well, yeah.
Much better than red.
I mean, really, it's almost a $55,000 turnaround when you think about it, but... You know, it took us a long time because we had to verify all the numbers, go through the system, make sure, and then I made sure Melissa worked with the finance department to make sure that we were getting, you know, we had all the information that we were reporting. So, I mean, this is a great day for all of us, and I
want to thank... Was there a big increase in, like, number of people coming this year?
You know, I don't have exact numbers or number of people, but I know that we did get a lot of, a lot more out-of-towners, and that was the goal, because we knew from day one that if we were going to make the pool successful, we couldn't rely just on the borough residents. We had to really market it outside of the borough, and we did that with the commercial, like Sandy alluded to earlier, stuff like that, and a lot of advertising, and word of mouth. And because of all the donations that you guys gave us and stuff with the pool painting and stuff like that, it made it so much more aesthetically pleasing for them to come and say, wow, this is fantastic. I never knew this was here. And we've been able to keep the rates flat, you know, so, I mean, we... You know, a lot of things. I think there's no one magic bullet that we did. And again, none of this is like, you know, I can't say that we did something that hasn't been done probably in a million other municipalities somewhere else, but it's really just putting all of the working pieces together and just hammering away at it little by little and just, and, you know, hoping for good weather and those things. You know,
yeah.
Christine's been great, Scott's been great, you guys have been great, very supportive. And, you know, it takes a community to do it.
Awesome.
So I just really was pumped up about this, and I just wanted to share the good news with everybody.
Well, congratulations.
You guys all had a hand in it.
Okay.
So
this is
Victor.
Now,
Victor.
I have a question for you.
I may not have answers. I really...
I hope you do. I noticed on the bill list tonight that from early September to early October or mid-September to mid-October, our water bill at the park was $500. You know I'm going with this, the pipe?
We haven't had any leaks that I'm aware of at the pool.
Have we redone that line?
We can't. We can't get, and we and I've talked about this. We solicited three different locations to give us cost to do exactly that. None of them even met with us. And there aren't a lot of places that have the bandwidth and the capabilities to do that. Like, part of the problem is, I know the infrastructure is really old, but I think part of the problem is our previous winterization processes, the companies that have done it have not done a great job.
Is it old cast pipe that's in there?
I think so. I think when they did the renovation project, and you know, Dawn might have more information than I do, but I think they didn't really replace a lot of the existing old piping.
No, they did.
So whatever is there is probably 60 years old.
Is there any way, listen, it doesn't take much to dig it up, and the road department has moved up water pipes. I mean, they've done a lot of the repair down there, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is you're digging up, you don't want to have people, patrons, come in and do a construction zone.
I understand.
And your window of opportunity is after the pool closes would be the best way to do it, like, say, September 2nd or whatever, you know, start whatever you're going to do. We don't even necessarily, that I'm aware of, we may, Melissa might have it, but I'm not even sure that there's a definitive map of every pipe that's in the ground. Because I know that when we've had previous leaks and they dug it all up, I remember we had a big leak last year, they found stuff in there in the ground that they didn't even know was there, you know? And so that has to be remediated in some capacity. So long story short, you know, we can't get people to come out. Even CFM, we had to beg them. They raised their price last year. We had to beg them to come out to winterize the pool. They did a lousy job, and as a result, it cost us more money because we had to replace things that they were supposed to have winterized that they never did.
That broke.
Right, that broke. So, I mean, it's kind of like this year we're going to do that in-house. We're working with the sewer department to winterize the pool in-house. Because I actually contacted Hackettstown. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be long-winded here, but contacted Hackettstown because they actually do it in-house themselves. So I was actually able to get three of their guys that run the whole show there as far as winterization and everything else and pool maintenance to come to the borough, and I met them personally at the pump house with the rec director. walking through all the pumps and everything, and they're like, this is a pretty simple setup. You guys can do this yourself, you know, with a little help. You know, so, you know, we reached out to the Veolia, and they were like, yeah, absolutely, we'll help you. So, long story short, it's a cost-effective measure because we're saving over $1,600 that we would have paid a third party. We know the job will be done right, and we don't have to do rework because that $1,600 really is more when you think about the things that you have to replace the following year. So it's not a perfect solution, but I think that, you know, once we get acclimated to doing it every year, that's an additional savings that we don't have to write to a third party. But eventually, you're 100% correct. We've got to replace those underground pipes. The question is finding a vendor that's willing to come out and do it. I mean, you'd be amazed how many people don't call you back for just about anything. I mean, the economy must be fantastic, and I'm missing something because we can't get people to call back for electrical stuff. You know, simple things, not even complicated things. So it's, you know, it's always a challenge, you know, and we're always looking for better and bigger.
I believe the mayor's going to the conference, so maybe when you're down there, you can check on something like that.
Well, maybe the engineer even could recommend a company that could do it.
Mm-hmm. That's possible.
You know, all we're looking for is an estimate right now, you know, because obviously there's going to be some substantial cost involved.
You'll be there also, Mr. Higgins, right?
Maybe.
Maybe? Okay. If you are, you can look too, maybe. You can
cover
anything
there,
that
I
if we duplicate, fine. But
yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay. What's your goal for next year?
Keep up the pace, basically, because I think that, you know, if you rest on your laurels a lot of times, you know, you get sloppy. You're lazy and sloppy. And
Like keeping stuff the same, the pricing and...
Well, yeah, we're not planning on changing any of the pricing. And, you know, we're a little ahead of the curve this year because we did so much work in the spring with the stripping down of the pool and repainting it ourselves. We saved a lot of money. So really, that doesn't have to be done. The only thing that has to be done is maybe some touch-up in the spring. So, again, the pump house was painted, the pool house was painted, the bathrooms were redone, everything, the floors were repainted. So you're going into next year where it's not like this huge list of things that have to be done for the park to be like blow you out of the water.
Right.
So really, it's just this year coming up is probably going to be just maintain the status quo. We'll still do the marketing. We'll still do the advertising. We'll still do the push. We're still going to push AquaZumba, which I think is going to be a huge thing for us as it gets more acclimated. You know, we always do a post-mortem at the end of the season. I write it up. You know, I solicit feedback from all the pool managers. Lifeguards send information to the rec directors. The snack bar staff send recommendations for menu changes. These are the things that the frontline people know that we won't know. So we sort of incorporate that into the next year plan and say, okay, well, let's drop these things off the menu. Let's add this to the menu. Let's do this instead of that. Like, one of the things that was successful this year that everybody seemed to like was the new badges, the ID badges.
Okay.
Because it pretty much eliminated the fraud that we had seen in the past. Like, in the past, we had the wristbands, and they would pull them off, slip them through as they were leaving, and hand them to their buddies or something like that. So, you know, things like that. You can't put the trust in the 16 or 17 or 18-year-old kid working at the desk to be able to track everything. So with the badges, it's kind of like your face is on there. So, you know, the fraud and the, you know, the stuff like that, not that it's impossible, it's just limited a lot more. So, I mean, those are the types of little things. It's a lot of little things that add up to big things.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like next year we have to, because we're looking at numbers, certain things, we have to maybe create some additional sub-accounts because cleaning supplies were rolled into snack bar and stuff like that, which makes it difficult for us to say, well, what does this do? You know what I mean? Because this doesn't count. This is cleaning supplies.
Right.
You know? So, you know, front ends, front staff, the people that man the desk, and when people come in, that's tied to snack bar. It shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Because that's not snack bar. It's not really pool. It's sort of like its own thing. So these are things that we can tweak as we go along. But I think we're in a good place now because now it's, we're doing surgery. We're not sledgehammering things. You know what I mean?
Fine.
Are you looking into evening maybe next year?
Yeah, well, one of the things we did this year, because of the heat wave, we opened the pool one day till like 10 p.m. or something like that, and it was really, really well received. We tried to do it again, but we just couldn't get the staff. So I think maybe next year we could probably do one night a week or something like that where the pool's open late, something along those lines. Maybe, you know, keep the snack bar closed because, you know, people aren't necessarily going to buy food. But, I mean, these are things that we're always open to do based on how we have the experience and the feedback that we get. The critical thing is the feedback, you know, because we saw one letter in the editor, somebody actually wrote, a pool patron wrote a letter. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't write things unless they're mad, you know what I mean? But when you see something that's a happy, you know, this is somebody that's been going to the pool for years. So she took it upon herself to write an unsolicited letter, and it was great, you know, because it's sort of a vindication that we are on the right track. But there's still more work to be done. We can always get better and bigger, stronger, all that stuff like that. So we can't let rest on our laurels, but we have to just keep, you know, we have to keep making sure our prices are comparable to other competitors. You know, we'll never be competitive like Hackettstown because of the volume, and they, right. You know, they get help, you know what I mean? But, you know, you guys, again, have been great. You know, you're part and parcel to us being successful. So, I mean, I don't want to underscore that. But, yeah, I mean, it's fantastic news, I think.
It is. But with that news, hopefully, I know it's not budget time yet, but fee increases, probably you're going to not have to make increases.
Yeah, we were not planning on increasing fees at all. And that's the goal. I don't ever want to increase fees because, you know, the pool shouldn't have to be a burden for people to go to and say, you know, I want to make the profits from volume, not from cost. You know, I mean, it's really that simple. And most of our day trippers is where we get our money from. You know, weather's a big thing, too. You have a bad season, it's 30 degrees out, no one's going to go to the pool, I don't care what it looks like. So, I mean, those are things that you can't control. But, you know, every town runs through that. But, you know, I just wanted to share the good news and say thank you again for all your help and cooperation.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll give you your meeting back. Is it okay if I put this in to be in the minutes?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, no problem. Should have had
an email blast. Well, it'll be in the rec director's report, I'm sure.
It'll be on the Facebook page tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get as much traction out of this as possible. You know what I mean? All right, guys, thank you.
All right,
thank you. Where'd my son go?
He's out in the hallway. He's been wandering around.
Okay, anything else for the audience portion? Hearing none, I'd accept the motion to close.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, now I know we have old business there for the nuisance ordinance, but I have an appointment I'd like to make. Christina and I had a little bit of a miscommunication. It's for recreation. The gentleman sitting here, Mr. Chris Zimmerman, and I'd like to appoint him to recreation. Unfortunately, I guess you don't all have his citizens involvement form.
No.
You know, he's very qualified. Vic has spoken with him. I've spoken with him. He's been waiting here patiently just in case anybody had any questions for him. So I'd accept a motion to appoint him.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Zimmerman?
Good luck.
Thank you. Hang in there, too.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Sorry to make you wait so long.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now do we want to go back to old business and do the nuisance ordinance?
Yes.
Mr. Torres.
Here, let me start by saying that after the discussion that we had on, what was it, the 20th?
20 seconds,
okay. What I did was I made updated changes so we can discard the other ones after this meeting, of course. You know, you might need them for your notes, but then
after
this is the up-to-date.
Then I'll discard the
changes. Right. Yes, that's what I mean.
Okay, I got all
this
my
is
notes.
The up-to-date up to tonight, and then you know if there's other changes, we'll make them, and then we'll go forward from there. So I know that we had left off the discussion.
Yeah, on litter, but
didn't he get one?
Well, I don't have enough right now.
Okay,
we'll have to make enough.
Yeah.
I do have one. But okay, here for you. Yeah.
Okay, let's make it wrong for the attorney. All right. I think we were, as I recall, we were on the discussion of litter, and I guess it was. Let's see if somebody could help me with the page number.
And you don't have it all memorized yet?
No.
Well, we didn't go in any particular
way. 48 is littering. Okay. Okay, yeah, that's where we stopped it. Okay. So, of course, now I'm opening the discussion up for the litter section. So.
We talked about litter.
We did, only a little. But so we were there. I just figured we'd start it again. Are we all done?
We did away with 59.20.7. That we did completely away with, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are some changes. I just wanted to rediscuss, make sure that.
Yeah, we got rid of part of 20.10.
Exactly.
Removing the ones to 59.19.
And those changes are all reflected in the new version. So I did update those. Okay. 2010, changes were taken out in section B as well. 2011, all the changes that we said. Okay. All right. So the other changes that I did make to the new one, you'll notice that the 5921 animals is what's supposed to be under noise. So other than that, I did lighten up the definitions by taking out the things that are already in the garbage, you know, the ordinance that we have now. So we didn't need to have them in here as well. So, you know, that'll make it a little bit less. It's the recyclable materials definition, and that's the long one, so we already have that. So it's repetitive. Okay. All right. So we can go back to the beginning now, and if people have changes or discussion that they'd like to make, you know, so it's open for that.
Well, I would like to go to 5911.2. 5911.2.
Yep.
That would be
page
26.
What
page?
Page 26.
The new one?
No. We're not using the new one yet. That's for after tonight's meeting.
Oh, okay.
The old one.
Okay.
All right. All of these requirements here, the electrical, the plumbing, the heating, all that other stuff, that stuff right there, who's going to be doing the inspecting on that?
Okay. Well, the way that this is written,
it says that all of that stuff has to be in good working order, like the electricity. Every existing outlet and fixture shall be properly connected. Who's going to make sure that it's properly connected?
Well, that would have to be the construction official. Okay, so different sections of this are
official.
Well, we have the state. Excuse me. Different sections of this are enforced by different people. So, like plumbing would be the state, the construction official, some is code enforcement officer. But whoever it is.
Code enforcement officer, right?
What's that?
This is not for the code enforcement officer.
No.
No, it's. This is not. No. Not under this. I don't think there's anything here. Fire inspector, safety from fire number 5, maybe, and number 4. So, different enforcement officials would, you know, basically enforce this, mostly not our code enforcement officer, though, in this particular section.
So other than the construction official that comes and checks, I mean, there's an electrical inspector, right? There's a plumbing inspector, there's a construction inspector.
And the fire.
And the fire, okay.
And we have a health official that can also come in and
check. They only come
check
in on when you pull a permit.
Right. So there is nothing withstanding for the plumbing and the electrical in here that would subject anybody to a random check.
Yes,
there is.
You would, council adopted 2007-2008 international maintenance code. Correct?
If you say. I can't remember that.
And in the International Maintenance Code, if you receive a complaint from a resident, okay, it must be, you know, followed up, checked out by a municipal official. Okay. And at the time when you were looking at that code, Judy Copen was working with me at that time.
Okay.
And I said, the easiest thing on electrical is you take a test light. Like, and every electrical instructor has a test light. You just plug it in. It's got to be working. You have to have a working outlet in each room, habitable room. Not in a closet, okay? Not in an attic. It's not required. And it's not required in a basement.
Okay, so you're saying that you could do that?
Yes, in the arsenal.
Okay.
Next, under plumbing.
But, all right, what gauge wire would you use for an outlet?
What gauge wire?
Yes.
What is the outlet intended use?
It's 110.
No, is it in the kitchen?
Kitchen, yeah, because it could be stove.
It depends on the amperage of the breaker or the fuse that it's on, really.
Yes.
If you have an electrical stove and oven,
it's a 110.
You're going to be using
it's a lot more than 110,
gauge.
Right, because of more amps.
Wire, okay? And that is under the electrical construction code.
So, Rudy, if I understand this correctly, this is only in the business district, correct?
In this particular section, that's where I put this.
Okay.
But it is from what
and
Rudy said, the already minimum
in
standards.
The business district.
Yes.
So if we received a complaint, it would go directly to the construction code. It would not go to the code enforcement office.
Yeah, unless it was multiple, like if it overlapped. Say that there was rodents,
right.
Say they
unless
saw a plus or electrical
well,
or whatever.
Help, but
yeah, but
mainly your plumbing,
sure.
Your electrical, your
yeah, so Debbie can funnel that out to whoever
right. Well,
it is. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That's where I get confused, though, because if we back up to the beginning of it, 59-10.4, page 18.
This is 11.
I know.
All right.
But it's still part of the
11.
What page?
58-10 what?
Page 18. That's where exactly where I'm confused, like Christine's question. It's saying that the borough council is hereby designated as the public officer to exercise the powers prescribed by this section. Council by resolution shall designate the borough zoning officer, code enforcement officer, or engineer as appropriate to act as public officer on behalf of council. And the powers of that public officer then are to investigate the building conditions in the borough, to enter upon the premises for the purpose of making examinations. So,
yeah, I think the wording there needs to be changed. It's actually the appropriate municipal official.
Well, see, in this particular section, this abatement of unfit buildings is already in our existing code. This was section, in the beginning, it says, which one it was from? Number 31. So, and it has to do with the
well, then,
if
that has to do with the unfit buildings, all right,
right.
Then shouldn't we have a section like that in 5911 saying exactly who does it for
vacant and
long-term vacant buildings? Who's doing it for long-term vacant buildings? That's where it gets confusing.
Well, we could add that in there, Janine, and see. The last sentence there on page 18, if permission is not granted by the owner, entry shall only be made with warrant. We're going to get a warrant to go in and check to make sure everybody's outlets are working?
Only if it's
no,
complaint
if there's a
driven.
Complaint, sure.
And that's only for unfit buildings.
Right.
Yeah.
This is for unfit
not
buildings.
Every building.
Right. So it's not for any house. It's for unfit buildings only. That's what this
but,
is.
But they'll give you, who has to apply for a warrant, please?
Court.
First of all, if this is only for unfit buildings,
yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't have any residents in it. You
right.
don't have any tenants.
Right.
Okay? That goes back to the construction code office.
Right, that's
ASBO.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
A
mm-hmm.
lot of this is going to go to the BCA. It's not going to fall under anyone's job duty here in the borough.
Right. Mm-hmm. But in a section 5911, that's a little different because that's the vacant buildings in long-term
It's not different because it's still vacant.
Is the ones in the commercial business district, and they're the ones that, you know, we're hopefully going to try to upgrade the appearance of.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter. Vacant building
doesn't matter.
Because if they're vacant, then we can't tell them what to do with a vacant building.
But somebody can still complain to you or to Debbie, and then you can call up the construction official, the board of health. You can call in the animal control, if there's a loose animal in there, whatever the complaint is, or our code enforcement official can also go in,
well,
depending upon the complaint.
If it's a vacant building and there's no owner of record, then who are you going after?
There always is an owner of record.
Always falls back on the borough, always. As we saw in the Paramount building, and that initially had the issue, the onus was on us from a safety standpoint to make sure that building wasn't going down.
Absolutely, sure. I'm not arguing with that. It's the same thing, sure.
I'm just making a point that if it's a vacant building, there's no owner of record. It's foreclosure, banks don't care. We've seen that 100 times.
Banks don't let it go.
But it's in receivership, so right. But we can still inspect it, you know, which is what this basically, what is Section 11 does.
Help me out here.
Right.
No.
We've got a vacant property.
Mm-hmm.
Residential.
Well, you have to pick residential as a picture because it's
forget
not,
about residential.
Right,
this is only for
okay.
commercial.
We're talking about commercial property.
What meat are you going to use, what powers, to make a owner of a unfit building retrofit for use.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do?
The mechanism is the registration. Okay, every year they have to register as a long-term vacant building if it's longer than a certain amount, whatever the time limit is for a vacant building. If it's say 12 months vacant, then after that time we should make them register it as such, so that then we can, if we have this ordinance in place, we can go and have monthly regular inspections.
But you don't have any authority.
Yes, we do. If we make the our own authority if we do that. We can do that. Other okay, I can give you examples of all over the country, other municipalities are doing this. This is a way.
But why are we always talking about other municipalities? We're talking about the borough.
Right.
We're
so,
not talking about
and it's
no other
the bottom line.
Now,
the goal is
the goal
in
is
the borough.
Our borough.
Yes, the goal in our borough is to actually upgrade the appearance, as our bid director had earlier said, is such an important aspect of our downtown. It has to be aesthetically pleasing, not only to the outside, but it has to be safe and healthy on the inside as well for the next tenants that come in there. And it will help also to get these landlords to more rapidly get on the, you know, on the ball with making the repairs or doing whatever it has to be done to get those buildings in shape for next tenant. Right. Well, if they're getting fined every month, or if they're having to pay a fee, they're not going to like that too much. So they're going to make them maybe act a little more rapidly than what happened in the past. Because as a matter of fact, with Paramount, it was 2006, or maybe even before that, the first time it was brought to the borough's attention about the problems with their particular problems, some of the same problems which are still as yet to be fixed today. Even though they are now doing some work to the inside of those buildings, the other two properties were reported way back in 2000, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 even, the first time that I came to, you know, read about that council minutes.
But again, too, like going to what Christine said, that Paramount's an owner. What about all these ones that don't have the owner or foreclosure? They're not even going to register the building that it's vacant. How are you going to get them even to register that it's vacant?
Because it's going to be in the ordinance. It's going to be a code. It's
let alone pay
the
account. Who's
the registry?
If it's foreclosed.
Well, no.
If it's foreclosed and in receivership, is there truly an owner?
Exactly.
No, well, if it's in receivership and there's a fee that's involved, then yes, the bank would be responsible for paying anything, and then they divvy out whoever they're going to charge it to. But yes, as a receiver, they can do that.
Hold on, Rob. Rudy's been trying to make a point here. So
okay, I'm sorry.
Let's let him make his point.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to force the issue for a owner of a property, business, to fix it for its use, then you better put money in the budget for the council, for the borough, to ensure that contractors go out and make the required repairs so it can be of use. If you don't have the money in the budget, no sense in doing it.
Because you're saying for the ones that don't have, that are foreclosed and they don't have people to do it. In other words, they're already bankrupt or whatever.
Or they just refuse to do it.
You're absolutely right. We would have to have the money available in every year's budget if we're going to enforce this all the way down the line. Now, that's just a matter of if there's money in the budget or not, as to whether or not we have enough money for the DPW, or if we have to go out to bid to have a construction company, you know, to come in and do those repairs if this company is refusing to do that. Am I answering your question?
One building I know, you're going to require about minimum $200,000 to bring it up to code that you can use the building. And if you don't have the $200,000 in, or if you just have $200,000, you're going to do one building, and it's going to be years before the borough gets that money back, so you better plan for more money in the budget for the following year to do another building. If the owner vacates the building and then declares bankruptcy, you can't do it.
You're looking for the total end solution. What I'm looking for is a regular payment of fees, okay, from this registration, which can go, maybe, you know, it's up to the manager, however they decide to budget it out, but towards a fund for rehabilitating those particular problems. But, okay, we have how many businesses and buildings, rather, in the commercial business district? Approximately 100? Am I correct, something like that?
I put a good number. Approximately.
Yeah. Okay. So say that there's 100. We're going to, and say 20% are vacant more than a year, okay? So right away, okay, 20 of these buildings are going to be paying these fees for registering the building, and then every month they're going to be paying additional fees for inspections. And that'll cover our inspection expense, okay? And it might help to get them on the ball to get these buildings upgraded.
The manager just told you that would go to the construction official,
right,
which is in Asbury. That is, so they get inspected.
No.
They don't get no money.
No. Okay, so that's just a wash on that money, unless it's a code enforcement, a particular inspection. And we can do that too, or a fire inspection, and we can do that as well. So,
but you just said it's going to go on the construction.
Well, it depends on what it is. We can have all three.
Will go on the construction official, as you saw in the case of the Paramount building.
Yes, except for if we have it in this ordinance, okay?
It still doesn't make it a code enforcement issue.
Well, it can. No.
No, it doesn't.
It can't.
It's a construction issue. Only people certified to inspect plumbing, electrical.
No. I'm not saying about plumbing, electrical.
But it's in
here. Okay. Yes, for those items. Yes. But there's nothing that would stop you from sending in the fire official to go and inspect that building for fire hazards. Or the Board of Health. You can call up the County Board of Health.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm still talking. That you can call in the County Board of Health, and they can inspect the building. So it's whoever you choose to do that if we pass this order.
Well, I've read this, and
yes.
I'm saying that I would not send a code enforcement officer into that situation. It would be construction, fire, or the Board of Health.
But you don't know what the complaint is yet.
For an abandoned building, I'm telling you that I would send the Board of Health, construction, or the fire official.
Okay.
Exactly the scenario we had with Paramount.
Well, okay.
It's exactly the scenario you have here.
Okay. So of those officials, there may still be a need for you to send in the code enforcement official as well. I mean, maybe in this particular case with Paramount.
I understand that point. That,
okay,
depending on what it is, but it appears that 90%+ of it is going to have to go to DCA.
Yeah, which doesn't matter in the whole big picture of the ordinance itself, because the borough is still making money on the initial registration. No matter what, they're going to be paying, those particular businesses are going to be paying the borough a registration fee, okay, every year for registering as a long-term vacant building. Okay, so that
only
those
fees.
Only if
you know who the owner is.
Well, no. There's always going to be some owner or receivership, no matter what.
Okay, first of all,
and that's
once
the
building is declared unfit, it's out of the borough's responsibility. Okay, it goes over to DCA.
Yeah, but that's after this would take effect.
That's unfit. What about the long-term vacant?
Okay. Because of an unfit building?
No, basically two separate nuisances.
You've got to have the money up front to enforce the code.
Thank you.
Okay? You don't have the money, there's no sense in putting the code in there because you're just blowing in the wind. Mm.
And that's the purpose of that, whatever that...
The what?
The same thing.
Yeah, but you're talking about the ones that are as bad as Paramount. What about a regular landlord that basically maintains their building, but their rents are so high that they decide, you know what, they're not going to lower them to, they're just going to keep it vacant. They don't care. Or they want a tax write-off, or whatever their own particular reasons are. But their buildings are, you know, pretty good shape. Okay? What about those?
We're going to punish them for having an empty building if they maintain it?
Mm. Yeah, because we don't want empty buildings in our borough, because when a realtor comes in town, the first thing that they do is drive the prospective new homeowner through the downtown. And then they're going to say, oh, wow, you know, I did like this town, but you know what? All these empty buildings over here. You know what? Let's look in Hackensack.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion for a 5-minute break.
Me too.
Sorry, I'll take that as the second.
Between sections 10 and section 11. The section 10 refers to the unfit buildings in where we have very little control. And I understand that whole viewpoint. In section 11, it's only for all vacant buildings. Whether unfit or not is a different issue. Okay? So all I'm suggesting in 11 is that we register these buildings every year. Now, we could charge them a fee, and other municipalities do that, and it works. This way, it helps them to, if they do need rehabilitation, or to try to get a tenant in there. Okay? That's the idea. Okay? So that's all I'm saying in number 11. So we don't have to even include 5911.2 in this, okay? Because I guess maybe there's an issue as to who's going to enforce it. So we can just say in this ordinance, section 11, that we want to register them as long-term vacant buildings and have them subject to reinspections.
How much what's the inspection going to be gauged against? The inspection is gauged against you having these minimum standards. If you don't have the minimum standards, then what are they inspecting?
Well, see, that's true. So, I mean, that's why I did include it in here.
Unless you just have them register vacant buildings.
See, the idea, the conception is this, that if it's vacant, okay, then what happens is, you can say, okay, it's been vacant for a long time. You know, were they registered? So then we'll check. If they weren't registered, send them a letter. Then, okay, they have to register it. Maybe the landlords didn't know that they have to register every year after this ordinance, starting 2015 or whenever, you know, it's going to actually take effect. So they register every year. And then they'll have to conform to the standards. They'll read in our code what these things are, or a letter will come with it saying that these things have to be complied with, or else they'll be subject to inspection. Even those words, even if we don't actually enforce them, it's going to actually help to make these landlords that are just don't even care that they have a vacancy in the center of our downtown do something about it. That's the whole conception. Now, how we attack it is different, you know, it can be up for discussion, and that's what I'm trying to get across. Yeah.
Rudy, I have a question to Rudy.
Go ahead.
Does the fire official keep a log or keep any information on vacant buildings?
You have to have a record of every commercial property in the municipality.
Okay.
And you have to have a file on that of instructions.
Okay.
From day one to the current.
Is there any
file must contain all violations and...
Is there any place on that inspection form that says occupied or unoccupied?
No.
Is that a local form?
No.
That's a universal form?
No, we go by the International Fire Code.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, each building, commercial building, is required to be inspected every year?
Yes, correct.
Okay. whether it's occupied or unoccupied.
That's correct.
Okay. Can the fire official...
I thought it's biannual.
Just let me finish. Is there any way that the fire official can notify the borough manager that this commercial building is empty, and it has been empty since the last inspection?
Yes, and it can tell you that fire official can tell you when it was last occupied, what business and type of business was in there.
Okay, then I say we get rid of it all.
Well, no, because the idea is to register the businesses to make them pay. All right, so $50 then, I started small. But actually, if we're going to, you know, do this the right way, my suggestion is to, you know, make them pay a higher amount, say $250 or $500.
Why would you want to make a property owner that's trying to get somebody in there spend more money than they have to?
Because they're not really trying. It's vacant for too long.
I say no. I'm done.
Rudy, you had something else you want to answer that?
Yes.
Okay.
We've got properties, commercial properties, that are deliberately left in their condition because they don't want to rehabilitate them.
True.
They want to use them as a tax write-off.
True.
And that's their advantage. Now, I like what you're trying to do on vacant. But if you want to be serious about it, a vacant building for 12 months or longer should have a substantial fee, or
registration
$2,000 a year.
Well, that
would be
to me extreme.
Initiative because the property owner is not going to want to pay $2,000 in addition to the fire inspection and the fees associated with it.
True, of course.
So maybe do that. Take away with this like chunk of it. Because you're already going to know from the fire inspection whether it's vacant,
right.
And somehow just have that if it's vacant for longer than 12 months, it's a $2,000 fee, whatever you want.
Or a registration fee will be $2,000.
Right. You keep saying registration fee.
Right.
What is the registration fee? What is the amount of the registration fee?
Well, I had it start off at $50 only just arbitrarily.
What is $50 going to bring
you? Nothing. That's what I'm saying. We should go for a higher amount. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, if it's $2,000,
what is the purpose of
it? I was trying to...
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, what is the purpose of it?
I don't want to... Okay. Especially in the beginning, the first time we do this, we don't want to... If there are some landlords that happen to have a problem with the economy and they are trying to get that vacancy filled and they lower their rent, we don't want to penalize them all across the board. But we do want to somehow get the ones that are purposely going for a tax shelter or... No, nobody's arbitrarily enforcing anything. What I'm saying to do is it would be across the board in the commercial business district of all the buildings, so all we have to do is figure out a sum that's not going to be, you know... too excessive, but it's still going to be high enough to motivate those that just want a tax shelter. So maybe it should be $1,000, okay? Because that's a pretty substantial
amount. This would not apply to commercial buildings that are outside of our central business district.
No, only in the central business zone, right.
And that's where I think a lot of our vacant buildings are they not?
Outside. What?
No,
most of them are in
they're in the zone, right, exactly.
Business district, being one.
Sure.
There's a few in the B2 zone.
Right.
But as my last 6 months as a fire inspector, 3 years ago, I fined this one property owner, $4,500 in penalties,
mm-hmm.
not including inspection fees, penalties,
mm-hmm.
in 6 months, and they graciously paid it.
Sure.
And it's still vacant today. And it still needs to be rehabbed.
The bottom line is $2,000 is a drop in the bucket if you're using these buildings as a write-off. If you want to make it so they clean it up, you give them, look, the fine is going to be $50,000 because that building has been...
But that's a fine. I'm talking about registration fee for all of them first. And then, if you want to fine them, that's different.
I don't think they have to register. I think they should just get the fine. If you don't register these buildings,
you
already know they're vacant.
Well, no. If you don't register them, you're not going to get
ducts, all of them.
He just said we get it from the fire inspector.
He said that they have it, they know that, that the builders...
But we're not going to get any income that we can put away towards the rehabilitation in case we have unsafe...
But is this for safety or is this for getting money to the borough?
Exactly.
Is it, if this is...
It could be dual purpose, but basically it's for registering the buildings that are vacant and making them pay registration fee every year. And this way they're going to be incentive to at least get those buildings filled. That's the idea, or lower their rents, whatever they have to do.
The incentive is to get the buildings habitable. Commercial and or residential.
But that's an unfit. That's, again, the other section.
No. We got buildings that haven't been inspected in years because they've been vacant in years, and I know this for a fact, okay, that should be inspected, and...
Well, then here's a mechanism to have it inspected, if they're registered.
Vacant, but you've got to have a registration fee, and it's got to be with, you got to hold it up, it's got to stand up in court.
Sure, right.
And that's not going to stand up in court.
A registration fee, that certainly will stand up in court. Absolutely will. It's done, it started in California, they did it in Milwaukee, they do it all over the place.
We in Washington Borough, I keep saying...
But I'm saying, it holds up in court.
Is it done in New Jersey?
Yes. And I don't know offhand, I get by the next meeting, I'll tell you who in New Jersey does it.
And what their registration fees are.
Okay.
And how it's written.
And anything else that you see that you think might be pertinent.
So for next meeting, I'll get you that information.
How it's written.
What the landlord's registration for residential units are should be sufficient for commercial. But the fee for registration should be enough incentive not to use that building, that property as a tax.
Sure, I agree.
$50 is not going to be, that's a drop in the bucket.
Sure, well, we're going to change that. We all seem to agree on that. Well, as I said, I just started that out as an arbitrary figure to discuss. So, right, we discussed, and now it seems to be that we want a higher figure if we're going to go forward with this anyway.
Yeah, and you're going to get us some more information.
I will.
Other communities
okay,
do that.
Fine.
Okay, anything else that we're going to discuss on this?
Not tonight.
Nope.
Okay. Then let's move on from here.
Mr. Mayor, I'll move Resolution 188 to 2013.
A second.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Okay, 189.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call on that one also.
Higgins?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
190.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion on that one. And another roll call.
Higgins?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Okay. 191 and 193.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Discussion on those. And a roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Vouchers.
Move we pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the vouchers?
Yeah,
I have no question.
Okay, Mrs. Gleba, I heard you first.
It's not so much like a question on the item. The last page,
17.
I'm just really bothered that the police charge the recreation for that 5K. We pay $2.1 million for police service.
Yep.
They couldn't, of the guys on that shift that afternoon, have...
Overtime.
But we pay the overtime budget. They're charging us extra. I just have a real problem with that.
Anytime, like when Washington celebrates America, the parade, overtime.
Yeah, but
pay.
That's a nonprofit organization. This is like the town.
The
like,
bid.
It
came from the Recreation Trust also. Recreation paid for it.
Yeah.
But with our police contract, they're allowed to do it, so they charge us.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's Sorry. Terrible when we pay that much money. And, you know...
I understand your point.
And do they? I want to know. My question is: I'm still waiting for their revenues. I want to know how much that the police make in revenues. And I want to know, do they charge the township? And if there's a 5K at Meadow Breeze, or do they, are they charging them?
You, all right, you have to back this up. We weren't going to look at the township's revenue. Now you're asking me for their revenue?
I've always, for the police revenues. I've asked for that a couple of times now.
No, we've asked for their actuals. I don't think we've ever discussed their revenue.
No, I've asked for their
revenue. We have asked for their revenue as well. Yeah.
So you want to see what they're charging?
What they make
outside?
Like, yeah, outside of like the budget. Yeah.
Well, outside of the budget, whatever they make goes to pay overtime,
right,
like Dave stated. So it's a wash.
Right.
So if you have, I don't know, give me an example. Go to on Route 31. They're paying their police overtime to block traffic.
Right. Plus they pay for the car.
That's
right.
Correct. They're paying gas for that car. It's a wash.
They could
be making a profit, because the way we used to do it, we charged them at the lieutenant's salary, but it could have been a sergeant or a patrol officer who did the job.
And we charged for the vehicle.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, but that goes into the police budget, and that doesn't mean that that can't be used somewhere else in the police budget.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and we get credit for half of that, too.
It's tough. It's public here, but you know, they can't. I know they're cutting other people a break, and I don't want to ruin that break for those other people. You know what I'm saying?
They charge the fire company, they charge the bid, they charge the Washington Celebrates America, they charge everybody.
They charge the bid, don't they? For downtown,
they're not going to for hometown holiday this year because they have the money in their overtime budget.
They will. If it is a
which is good. I don't want to ruin that. I'm glad that.
These are things. I don't know that. So
Sandy said that at the last meeting.
I don't recall her saying that.
If it's above and beyond normal patrol, they get paid for it.
Like the high school, they get charged the high school for football games.
But I can see that the high school is different. That's like a separate thing. This is like us. Like say we had the police for, or it was our own police. Say it was our own police department.
Right.
And our town needed our police to provide the 2 hours that Saturday. We would charge ourselves for the 4 hours?
We would charge the Rec Commission's Trust Fund.
Yeah.
We would charge when Washington Celebrates America, when we had our own police department.
Yeah.
We charged.
But I consider that outside.
It's still Washington Celebrates America.
All right. We charge the bid for the festival. The police,
I consider them outside too. I guess I just think of our town's recreation as the town.
I understand what you're saying, but we would charge it back against the trust fund.
They charge the fire company squad just as well.
Yeah, I understand your point. Don't think there's anything we can do about it.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's horrible.
All that money.
Anything else on the vouchers, Mr. Thompson?
Page 14. Sam's Club. It says paper towels, trash can liners, bleach, soap, sponges, Ziploc storage bags, pens, and miscellaneous others. What's miscellaneous others?
Well, is it recreation? I mean, they're paying their own bill.
Okay, but there's always that miscellaneous other that pops up.
I can find out what miscellaneous other is. However, it's being paid out of the recreation trust, so
I have
don't
no problem with
know
that,
that you have...
That $269, you have miscellaneous other.
I understand.
No, I have one other question, Sibling.
Go ahead.
On page 7, under public, under buildings and grounds, why don't we pay the state of New Jersey treasurer for the elevator inspection?
We pay for every inspection that we have in this building. We pay the fire extinguisher inspection as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but if there's it goes to the treasurer of the state of New Jersey.
It goes to the state. We pay the state of New Jersey
mm-hmm.
to cover.
By the way, is there an elevator registration fee? Maybe there is, and we would have to pay that if there was.
But there's not, so we don't
know. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. We would.
We do have to pay the state to come in and inspect. That's unfortunate.
Well,
we pay them to inspect our fire extinguishers.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought we had somebody come in. I thought we hired somebody.
Well, we
inspect.
Do. They come in and fix it when we need it fixed, but the state always comes in and inspects the elevator, and they charge us for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else on vouchers? Page six?
Yes.
Let's see here. Under Public Works, Highway Sports Shop, second from the bottom up where that line is.
Ability?
The fire and safety equipment. Two pair of hip boots.
I don't know why it says fire and safety equipment, but the hip boots are for cleaning the Mill Pond Dam.
Okay, but is that charged to the wrong account?
It looks like it is. I have to, well, I'll check that out.
Good catch, Dave.
There was something on here. Okay. On page four, I brought this, I mean, I highlighted it because of the discussion with Ms. Bryant. The application for the New Jersey State Aid Program applications, what was that, $2,000 we got charged? That was just, was that done in September, or is that the billing period? Probably the billing period.
I'm sorry, Dave, I don't...
Page four, Finelli Consulting.
Right.
It charged us $1,965 for, oh, I'm sorry.
Mill Pond Road Dam.
Aid program application. Mill Pond Road Dam. I'm talking about the other, the state aid,
For writing the grant.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And I don't understand what the second something quarterly reporting is, SESC, what is that?
That's soil erosion and sediment control, quarterly reporting that has to be given to the county every quarter.
Okay.
They write that report for us because we monitor our own soil erosion and sediment control. We don't go right to the county. We're actually the only municipality in Warren County who monitors our own.
I understand. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
The state aid application, I have to check. You asked if that was for this billing period. That was for the whole thing.
Okay.
The sewer testing, is that the whole town or certain sections?
It's actually the entire town, so it's a report that has to be filed with the county whenever there's construction and they're moving soil, Washington Square, Ray Rice's new project downtown, all these things have to be done on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
If we had the county do it, I don't know that we would have to pay.
Higher amount.
But the borough monitors their own.
Just one location, the whole town.
Because my question is, this is kind of like a monthly bill, and it falls under the same billing period. You know what I mean? From top to bottom, 9/15 to 10.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Is that when they're doing all this work, or is that when we're getting billed for that?
I think that's just when we're getting billed.
That's right.
It depends on the billing period. Yes, it depends. They could be on a 2-week lag, or we could be on the 2-week lag. It's a timing issue. I could...
Well, if we're on a 2-week lag, we're actually like 3 weeks behind if you use the dates.
And that would be correct. We're on... It depends on the timing of our meeting. We had 2 weeks in between our meetings, don't forget, this past November.
Yeah, but the 15th was our last meeting, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right, and there was one other thing. And it had to do with the water bill at the park. $438 or $483?
Soccer is still going on there.
So, yeah.
They drink a lot of water, right?
And
oh, that's
the
fountain.
The fountain.
The lights
are on
when I came through tonight, too.
That's soccer.
All right. I think I'm good. I'm good.
Anything else? One more.
Yeah. Just on page six. That is on the bottom of DPW. It says Seal Master. That's for a new machine for lawn painting. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, excellent.
I know.
That's good.
Fantastic.
Okay. And a roll call, please, for the vouchers.
Yes.
Higgins? Connery?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Suarez?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
One other thing we need to do. Being as the league starts on November 19th, and that's a new scheduled meeting date for us, we need to move our meeting to Monday the 18th.
Monday? I'll make the resolution.
Motion?
Motion, I'm sorry. Yep.
Can we do it on Thursday?
I don't know.
Thursday, I don't know if I'll be back in time. because they hold the league meeting after everything else clears off.
How about, well, no, I don't want to do it on Friday. I won't be here on Monday. I mean, if you want to do it after the league, maybe, you know, it's a good idea, but maybe we should do it then on Friday. And Dave can also be there, right?
No, I'm going to be there Thursday.
Yeah, but I can't, I don't think Thursday's a good deal for me.
Yeah, Thursday's usually not a good day for me.
Okay. How about Friday?
You want to have a count for me on Friday night?
Can we do it? Well, sure.
Can we cancel the meeting?
Yeah, can we do it the following Tuesday?
Yes.
We can do it the following Tuesday.
It's Thanksgiving week.
No.
That's the 26th.
But I'm saying that in case anybody's traveling.
26th be okay with everybody?
I'm traveling to 241 Belgrade Avenue.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Is that the 26th?
I'd rather not do it Thanksgiving
26th.
Okay.
26th, 25th.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I don't know. 26th is Tuesday, 27th is Wednesday.
I was looking at the 18th there.
I mean, the option is the 18th, back to the Monday. And I'm more in favor of doing it.
The 18th is, isn't that,
who's going to make the motion?
Board meeting that night, too?
Not on Tuesday. They meet on Monday.
They're on Monday.
But this is at Monday.
Yeah, we did Monday. Yeah,
we were looking at Monday the 19th at that one point.
Yeah.
Monday the 18th.
You said 18th.
Monday the 18th.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm looking at the two dates.
Without a calendar.
I'm going to make a motion that we cancel the scheduled meeting on the 19th of this month and move it to the 26th.
Second.
Right. Any discussion on that?
The manager will have to properly advertise.
That's right before next year.
Are you going anywhere?
I don't have my count. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be gone.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No. Any opposed?
Right here.
Okay. One opposed and any abstentions?
Well, by saying aye doesn't mean I'm coming, but I'm just saying you can change the meeting.
Yeah, well.
What day of the week is the 26th?
It's a Tuesday.
All right. Thank you.
26th is a Tuesday.
So you're going to get 2 weeks in a row, right?
Yeah.
26th
is another
first Tuesday
of
next month.
Yeah.
Back to back.
So that's December good. Meeting should be real fast.
It'll be really fast. There's no
bills
to pay.
That's okay.
Everything you paid up.
Okay.
Will that interfere, by the way, with the payroll or no? That'll still go out anyway, right?
No, it goes out anyway.
Okay. Recap.
The labor attorney and I will prepare a resolution for the next meeting. I will look into the various options for the time clock. Provide the revenue report for the governing body.
The hour revenue is right. I don't need the police one since everyone says it's a wash.
We will place the nuisance ordinance on the next agenda.
So it needs to be an early one then, or a late one?
I don't know yet.
I will look into Councilman Thompson's question of the miscellaneous items purchased by recreation.
So it's just a question now, what's miscellaneous?
Right.
So,
verify that the hip boots were charged to the correct account and advertise the next meeting for November 26th.
Council remarks. Mr. Thompson.
I've got a couple things. Question. The traffic light Belgrade Avenue and Church Street. The post office side. We own that.
We pay for it.
Okay.
We fixed it during Hurricane Sandy.
Okay, it needs to be fixed again. The little cones, whatever, are being shifted. The visors.
That's because they probably hit them with the truck again when they bought those.
Yeah, that could be exactly right.
Okay, so I'm just saying. I noticed the other day somebody couldn't see.
Okay.
And one thing for next week is fly your flag on Veterans Day and thank a vet. Thank you, Rudy. Dave?
Paul?
Happy Veterans Day.
Good. Mr. Higgins?
What page do you want me to start on?
That'd be real quick.
All right. First of all, I had some people come talk to me about the Halloween hours. They think that 4 hours is too long. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You might want to look
okay.
at that next year. That 4 hours.
We always do it wrong. So,
yeah.
you know.
4 hours is
right, yeah.
too long.
Thank you.
Let's see here. Have you gotten a check from Sorelli?
No.
You're working on that then?
I am. I believe they paid Washington Township instead of the borough.
Let's see here. Do all the department heads have their scheduled dates to have their budgets submitted to you?
The budgets are submitted. Ms. Lasha right. and I are working on putting them all together now.
Okay, good. Let's see here. Are we going to meet with the Shared Services Committee about the contract before the
we
end of the year?
We are. But Judy and I are still finalizing the language and the agreement.
Okay.
That will be presented to you at the next meeting.
On the 26th?
On the 26th.
Okay.
Once we're comfortable and all parties agree on the language, then Judy and I will move forward, or I will move forward with the shared service.
Okay.
We want this put to rest first.
Oh, I would like to put it to rest too.
Yeah,
and,
well.
Okay,
so again,
Monday is Veterans Day. The municipal building is closed, I think.
It is.
Okay. Let's see here. I would like to congratulate Paul on his victory yesterday. And he looks like he's enthused to be here right now, and he'll be more enthused, I take it. And the last thing I have is on Saturday, November 10th, the Marine Corps is 238 years old.
Okay.
And I am one of the original members.
Mr. Conrad. Mr. Torres.
I just wanted to give the same congratulations to Paul and everybody else who won their elections, and also to our new grandpa over there, Councilman Thompson. I had a little girl, and so, of course, I wanted to give him that in the public record. And I also did want to mention that the flag is finally up at the library. Thank you very much.
Flag's finally up? Yes, at the last library board meeting, the Girl Scouts came and presented us. To the library
yes.
board.
Yes, in conservation.
And you can probably see pictures of that on, I believe, the library's webpage. Mrs. Lieber.
Just a couple of things. What's going to happen with, like, the tax collector since we're getting close to the end of the year?
Natasha has yet to make her decision.
Okay. And also, do we have to do something, like, formal? Like, what we did the professional evaluations. What about the appointments for next year? Were we doing interviews?
We didn't go out for proposals.
Yeah, we didn't go out for proposals. We decided not to.
We decided, okay. Nothing was ever really like formally like said. We just did the evaluation, so I was just wondering.
Have the professionals submitted their proposals for budget?
Yes, I have. They're all within normal range of last year. Nothing out of the ordinary. Didn't know. Do you want to go out for proposals?
No, I didn't know if we had to say something formal that we weren't going out. I didn't.
And then I prepared the resolution.
I must have missed that part when we said we weren't going out. All I remember is doing the evaluation.
We prepared the resolution for the reorganization meeting in January.
Right. No, I know that. Okay. Yeah. And congratulations to both of you as well.
The only thing I have, Paul, congratulations.
Yeah.
Look forward to working with you.
Let's adjourn.
No.
I'm sorry.
We need an executive session for personnel matters.
One.
Would that be appropriate?
Sure.
Okay.
Five minutes.